Thank you, Jessica. That was awesome. That was better than Paul Newman could do himself. John MacArthur is a pastor of Grace Community Church out in Sun Valley, California. Several years ago, I read something that he had written that caught my attention, and it is this quote: "No congregation will be what it could be, what Jesus prayed that it should be, what the Holy Spirit gifted it and empowered it to be, until it understands and employs spiritual gifts." A lot of Southern Baptist churches do not talk much about the Holy Spirit or about spiritual gifts because they misunderstand it, or they ignore it because some people have corrupted the power of the Holy Spirit in their congregations and in their lives, and we don't want to get involved in all of those kinds of things, so we just kind of ignore the Holy Spirit altogether. But I have understood in my study of Scripture through the years that it is important for us as Christians to understand the spiritual gifts, know how they operate in the church, know what your spiritual gift is as an individual, and then use it in ministry throughout the church. Just think with me for a moment. A lot of people join churches and they say they join for various reasons. Maybe it's because they make some friends or think they can make some friends at the church, so they join the church. And a lot of people will say they go to a church that's not that the church is friendly, they're looking for a place where they can make friends there. And a lot of people will join a church because of that very reason. A lot of pastors like to think it's because of them, but less than 11% of people will say they join a church because of the pastor. It really hurts my feelings, but I just have to go along with the statistics, okay? But here is the theology that I have seen revealed to us in the Word of God, that God gathers together in the local church, and He gifts those so that as a body they can fulfill that part of God's kingdom's work He's assigned to them to do. Now, my understanding then is that if you don't know your spiritual gift and God has gathered you in this church, then we are not as strong as a body of Christ as we could be until you discover your spiritual gift and we give you ways or firm ways in which you are using that to strengthen up the body of Christ. So it's not going to do for us just to ignore the spiritual gifts or the Holy Spirit's power in our life. We need to welcome in the Holy Spirit and accept God's gifts that He has given to us. The packages that are on the table in front of me there are representing all the variety of spiritual gifts that God does give us in the body of Christ. And so today I'm going to talk to you, and for the next 4 weeks talk to you about the spiritual gifts. I have discovered that if we're going to move forward as a church, it is very important for us to set people free in their spiritual giftedness so that they can first find satisfaction and secondly find fulfillment in doing that for which God has gifted them. A lot of people have taken on jobs in the church, whether it's teaching or taking care of babies or serving in some way, and they find themselves frustrated, although they want to dig in and they want to help. But if we could help them to find that one thing, that one area, that niche that will fulfill the giftedness God has given them, not only will they be fulfilled, but they'll be a happy person because they are seeing that God is using them in the work of the kingdom so that as a church we can be what God wants us to be. One last thing and then I'll move on. And that is, how does a church know what its niche is in the kingdom of God? You know, we cannot just look at churches around us or big churches around the country and think, oh, we want to be like them, so let's imitate what they are doing and we'll do it here. A lot of people did that when Willow Creek became strong up near Chicago or Saddleback out in California. A lot of people said, well, that's the way to do church. So they tried to do that and they ended up messing everything up because they were not the same body of Christ. So how do we know at First Baptist Church of Olive Branch what kind of church we need to be in God's kingdom? How does He want to use us? The way we know that is to discover the giftedness He has brought together in this body and then live out of that giftedness that He has revealed in us. And so that's what we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. And I hope that you'll see it as me as a servant to you, trying to help you be set free to do that which God has gifted you for. Now, in addition to the things I'll be teaching over the next few weeks, I want you to know that after or on June the 16th, we'll begin allowing you to pick up an assessment tool at the Information Center. It's a little booklet that I've used through the years. It costs $2, but we don't want anybody to let $2 stand in the way, so if you don't have $2, then get the book anyway. But we want you to have that tool to take, and an assessment doesn't tell us everything about spiritual gifts, but it'll help us get on the right track. And then in about 4 weeks or so, we're going to offer to everyone that wants to a chance to sit down with some of the staff and talk through, now that you know what your spiritual gift is, what are some ways that you can use it in ministry? So those are some other components that we'll offer down the line. Now, I know some people want to know about spiritual gifts just because they're curious. They've heard some strange things about what the Holy Spirit does in people's lives, and they want to get in on that. Or they just want to know more. You know, they don't really want to do anything with it. They just want to know more. But the goal of what I'm going to share with you in these next few weeks is that you will not only know what your spiritual gift is or be on track to discover that, but then you will express it in ministry. God's gift to you, other than salvation, is that He gives you a portion of the Holy Spirit's power to use in your giftedness in the church. Your gift to Him is then to use it back in ministry in the kingdom. Now, what is a spiritual gift? We're going to quote somebody really famous here. A spiritual gift is a special ability which the Holy Spirit, in accord with God's grace, gives to every Christian to be used in ministry for the purpose of accomplishing the will of God within the body of Christ. Now, I'm going to highlight just a few of the phrases there before we leave this slide. Number one, a spiritual gift is a special ability. By that I mean it is not just a natural talent, something you're born with. It is something that God gives you. It is a special ability He gives you. It is the Holy Spirit who gives those gifts by God's grace. He gives those by His determination and His design. You've heard some churches teach that you can come forward and pray and agonize with God, and if people will just lay their hands on you correctly, you can receive certain gifts. The Bible does not teach that. It teaches that the Holy Spirit is the one who determines who gets what gifts. And the gifts are only given to Christians, people who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and made a commitment to Him for salvation. Christians are the only ones who will receive a spiritual gift. It is to be used in ministry, and it is to be used to accomplish the will of God, to strengthen up the body of Christ. And that's why this definition is key for us. By the way, when I first developed these lessons, I had some friends that were in Pentecostal, Charismatic, or Assemblies of God ministries. And so I asked them if they would take my notes and review them and mark it or critique it or write what they thought was wrong or how they disagreed with it in Scripture. And I'm happy to say and proud to say that the five lessons I'm going to teach you have been scrutinized by some people that you and I would say we would disagree with on things, and they say this is as biblical as they know the Bible to teach about spiritual gifts. So I think we're in good company here, and we're going to move forward. All right, so the first thing you need to learn, you've got this outline in your bulletin, by the way, if you haven't grabbed that yet. I wanted you to know what are the primary scripture passages that talk about spiritual gifts. And there are four major passages. We're going to read just one of them today. But the four major passages are Romans 12, starting with verse 3, 1 Corinthians 12, starting with verse 1, 1 Peter 4, starting with verse 10, and then we're going to read in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Now, some of this should be familiar to you because many of you have been working on memorizing this verse this year, or part one of the verses this year. Here we are, Ephesians 4, verse 11. And He, talking about Christ, and He personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the training of the saints in the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children, tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness in the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. From him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. So I want to explore with you, why would God choose to give you, if you trust in Christ as Savior, why would God choose to give you a spiritual gift? And there are several reasons. Here's the first one. The first one is to glorify himself. God gives spiritual gifts to his children, to those who have committed their lives to him, because he wants to bring glory to himself. Now, God does not design for himself to receive glory because he is insecure or he is an arrogant maniac. God designs things for him to receive glory because he knows that ultimately he is the only one who deserves to receive glory. Does that make sense to you? See, God is not some freakish creature, some freakish alien up there that just can't live unless people are praising him. That's not true. God just knows that we're going to worship something. We're going to praise something. That's the way that we're made inside. And so he has created the situation where we will give glory to him because he deserves the glory. He's worthy of the glory. And we will find that there is nothing else in all of the universe worthy of the worship and glory that God is due. And so he has designed even the spiritual giftedness to bring glory to himself. In 1 Peter 4, it says this, "If anyone speaks, it should be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, it should be from the strength God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." God is not some arrogant fool. He knows that we need him. We need to worship him. We need to glorify him. And he's designed spiritual gifts, first of all, to be done in such a way that it brings glory to him. Second reason why God gives us spiritual giftedness is to build up the body of Christ. In the verses I just read, it said pastors and teachers are supposed to train the saints in the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ. What we do as ministers in the church is supposed to undergird, support, train, equip the body so that you all can do the work of the ministry and thereby be strengthened as the body of Christ. We've had it mixed up for decades, maybe hundreds of years, thinking that we're supposed to hire ministers and they do all the work and then we pay all the bills. If we sit in the pew, we pay the bills and they do all the work. And although that is one way it can be done, it is not scripturally designed that way. It is designed that God sends ministers to the church to lead them, equip them, enable them, so that God's people can be involved in the work of the ministry. Because that is what builds up the body of Christ better than if we hire a few hired guns to do all the work. If God's people are involved in ministry, then you are the ones that are strengthened thereby. Now think about it. Isn't it exciting to think that the God that created the universe, that spoke and the earth came into existence, that just spoke and creation began to take place. To me, I'm not like a tingly, warm, fuzzy, wuzzy person, but just think for a minute. That God wants to include you in his work. That is an amazing thing, is it not? And God wants to receive glory, but he also wants to build up the body of Christ. Third reason is that God gives these gifts is to develop unity in the body. Until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of God's Son and we become a mature man. Now, maybe that's not obvious at first, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because I'll explain this down a few sessions. But the reason that spiritual giftedness builds up unity is because with every spiritual gift, there are strengths and there are weaknesses. My youngest daughter, Hillary, she'll be here in the second service. She has one of her spiritual gifts is mercy. Now, spiritual gift of mercy is great, and we need that in the church because it helps those that have that giftedness helps the body to be sensitive to those that are in need or those that need special care or those that others overlook. I describe it this way because my gift is not spiritual. My spiritual gift is not mercy. So when I think about my daughter Hillary, I say she is a needy person magnet. Okay? As her father, I think, why in the world does she always get involved with these people who are so clingy and so needy and so desperate? That's her spiritual gift. And so it just happens that way. But with every spiritual gift, there are strengths, and then there are also weaknesses. A person with the spiritual gift of mercy cannot always discern when people are trying to take advantage of them. Because they are so merciful and caring and loving, they want to reach out and help people. They don't quite see the side of it. Somebody with a spiritual gift of discernment may never help anybody because they're so picky about everything. But when those two people come together, then the body has unity and it is strengthened because the strengths of the gifts are shown and the strengths make up for the weaknesses of the other. I'll explain that more later. But that is the way that in the body, the spiritual gifts help to bring unity. In other words, let me just say it clearly this way. Whatever my gifts are, I need yours to make up for my weaknesses. Whatever your gifts are, you need me to make up for your weaknesses. We need each other, and that's why spiritual giftedness develops unity in the body. A fourth one is that it develops maturity in the body. Once we understand the spiritual giftedness that God gives us and we begin to operate in that, Ephesians 4 says we will no longer be like little children, tossed by waves blown around every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness and the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. I heard on the news the last couple of weeks about a little girl who challenged the CEO of McDonald's. Have you heard this in the news? Saying, why are you trying to trick us kids into buying unhealthy food by putting toys in Happy Meals? Have you heard this? I'm sure the girl thought it up all by herself. I'm sure her mother had nothing to do with it. But when children are little, you could get them to do all sorts of things if you promise them a toy or something. I remember when I was a little kid, we had a man came in the grocery store that my dad owned, and he was always trying to trick me into trading his nickel for my dime. He'd say, this is bigger. It's thicker. You know, it's a bigger circle. Don't you want to trade with me? And some children would fall for that. And the church cannot be that foolish. For too many years, we have been a church in America just waving in the wind. It's time for us to grow up and be mature. Why do you think it is that some of these cults that I talked about earlier in the year get so many of their converts from Baptists? Well, one reason is there's more Baptists in the United States than anything else, so the pool is great. The second thing is Baptists say they're people of the book, but they don't know the book. And we've got to stop being immature in our faith. It's time to grow up into maturity and not be tossed by every wave and wind that is blown. And spiritual giftedness helps us. The fifth is to grow the body of Christ. From him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love. So we are to grow, and the way we grow is God gives us the spiritual giftedness to use in the body. And finally, the sixth reason I'll list today is for the common benefit of the body. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, a demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person to produce what is beneficial. Older translations like NIV would say, for the common good. And so God does, he demonstrates the power of the Spirit in our lives through each person that is a believer to produce what is beneficial or for the common good of the body. So if you have a spiritual gift, it is not intended for you to use your spiritual gift for your own benefit or glory or ambition. A spiritual gift that God gives to his children is to be used within the body for the common good of the body, what is beneficial to the body of Christ. So if you can discover your spiritual gift, you can be a bigger blessing to the body of Christ by using your spiritual gift for what is beneficial and proper and appropriate for the body. Now, I'm going to have to move on. I'm going to get to a lot of other things in the next few weeks, so make sure that you stay with me. How do I receive a spiritual gift? And can I choose my own gift? A lot of people ask me these questions. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, "Therefore I am informing you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Now, if we take that principle and that verse and apply it, here's the first lesson you need to learn about spiritual gifts or receiving your gift. You cannot receive a spiritual gift unless you are a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Spiritual gifts are only given to God's children, and children by faith, not children just by creation. So the first thing is, I want to make sure that if you have any interest at all, curiosity at all about discovering what your spiritual gift is, the first thing you need to nail down is, are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Not just do you think that Jesus existed or that God is in the heavens. There is a God, after all. Not just those beliefs, but have you moved to the place where you have trusted in what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, paying the price for your sin? You realize that you had to have something that could make up the difference between you and where God is, His holiness and your lack of holiness. And so you've trusted in what Christ accomplished on the cross to pay the penalty of sin, and you've committed your life to live for Him. If you have accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you are in line to receive God's spiritual gift. As a matter of fact, if you've received Christ, you've already received at least one spiritual gift. But if you have not received Christ, don't think that you are like some of the characters we read out in the book of Acts that see Paul and Peter doing things and say, man, I got to get me some of that. You don't get it that way. You only get it by receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior. Second principle is Romans 12:6. It says, according to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. So God gives a spiritual gift out of His grace to us. It's not something that you can go to God and demand. There are times that I've encountered some people in my churches where they said, I don't like my spiritual gift. I want this one over here. You know, I want those over there. Those look better. And to tell you the truth, we have whole denominations many times based upon a group of people who are desirous of the more flamboyant gifts because they've not ever been taught Scripture to understand really how those fit into the body of Christ. You cannot go to God and say, God, I've looked over the gifts, and if I have my way, I'd like to have gift number 2 and gift number 7 and gift number 11. God doesn't work that way. It is by God's grace that He gives you a gift at all. And God is the one that chooses to give different gifts to different people. I'll say this now. I was going to save it for later. But one time I was interviewing for a ministry position in the church where I was serving as pastor. And I had all the final candidates take a spiritual gifts assessment. And this special assessment was geared just for the ministry gifts that we were using at that time. So I think it resulted in showing where a candidate would fall in these 10 different areas. The highest score you could get on any of the 10 areas was 17. And one of the candidates returned his assessment, and he had 17 on all of them. I wouldn't have been surprised if he had scored 18 on one or two of them. I realized he was so full of himself that, I mean, nobody has all the gifts, and certainly not all at the same level. The only person who does that is Jesus. But none of us are going to do that. It is by God's grace what He gives. He determines that, and He gives us a gift out of His love and His grace for us. Number 3. 1 Corinthians 12:11, but one and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person as He wills. It is by God's design through the Holy Spirit who gets what gift. Now I'm going to have to move on, so let me share this answer to this question. How many gifts are there and what are they? I have done as exhaustive a search through the Scriptures as I can, and the Bible, as best as I know, lists about 20 different spiritual gifts that it gives a name to. Now, here are some of them. The gift of giving, the gift of evangelism, the gift of administration, the gift of leadership, the gift of mercy, and so on. Those are gifts that the Bible lists. Now, it implies or suggests about 10 other gifts that the Bible doesn't really give a name to, but it kind of describes it as a spiritual gift. So that's about a total of 30. Now, some of those are gifts that most of us aren't interested in receiving anyway. So we're not going to deal with five of those 30. And those five are martyrdom. Anybody want that spiritual gift? I've not found too many people who are interested in the spiritual gift of celibacy or voluntary poverty. Deliverance is one that is a little hard for us to understand in Scripture. And then the fifth one is creative communication. Now, those five are sort of implied in Scripture, but we don't understand as much about them really to get into much detail. So we're going to talk about 25 of the spiritual gifts that are mentioned in Scripture, the 30 that are mentioned there. Now, there are five principles that govern spiritual gifts, and this is where I will conclude for today. And I haven't listed scriptures with these, but in the passages that I listed earlier, you can find these truths evident in those four major passages. The first one is this: God is the source of all spiritual gifts. I'm going to deal with it later on about natural talents. When I was a young man in 1960s, I think it was 1963, when the movie Funny Girl came out with Barbara Streisand, and being an impressionable young man, I not only fell in love with her voice, I just thought Barbara Streisand was it. I have since changed my mind. But I use that illustration because it's a principle. She, even at her older age now, has an awesome talent, does she not? She sold millions and millions of what we used to call records or albums. Nowadays they call them downloads on my MP3. But very talented. That does not mean that God gave her a spiritual gift of singing. And we'll talk about what the difference is. But all spiritual gifts are, the source is God. He's the one that designs it, he decides who gets it, and he's the one who gives it for the building up of the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and we become mature, a mature man represented by the fullness of Christ. Now, a second principle is that governs spiritual gift. God gives each Christian at least one spiritual gift. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this principle is listed there, that everyone who accepts Christ gets at least one spiritual gift. So if you're sitting out there and you're saying, you know, I'm an old man, I can't do much, I got nothing to offer, or in the next service when I have a bunch of teenagers sitting over here, they're going to say, I'm young, I haven't developed anything yet, I don't have much to give, that's a bunch of baloney. Okay? Because God gives every Christian, every believer, every follower of Christ at least one, usually more than one, but at least one spiritual gift. And if you're a believer here today, I can affirm to you by the basis of teachings in 1 Corinthians 12, you have at least one spiritual gift. I don't know what it is exactly, but I could help you discover that. That's not the issue. The third of these five principles is God does not give all the spiritual gifts to one person. I am not here today to say, I pull open my suit coat, pull open my white shirt, and throw my tie to the side. You do not see a big giant C for super Christian on my t-shirt. I thought that would be funnier. No one person has all the spiritual gifts. So, whatever Sam Reichert's spiritual gift is, or Meredith Burse's, I need them because I don't have all the gifts. You know, whatever Jim Davis's or Chris Powell's spiritual gifts are, I need them because I don't have all the gifts myself. None of us has them all. And so it develops this quote-unquote neediness in the body of Christ, so that we will have a dependency upon one another. We will not be independent as believers, but we will be dependent in the body of Christ. Paul gives the illustration in some passages where we're not all eyes. What would a body look like if all of it was just a big eyeball? Okay, we're not all hands. There are some parts of the body that we'll talk about in the next few weeks that are not as beautiful as others. Like when I show pictures of my daughters, I show their faces. I do not show their kneecaps. Not that they don't have lovely kneecaps. It's just that's not how we show people's picture, is it? Or shall I get even like under the skin? Those parts aren't as comely. They're not as beautiful. They're not as attractive. But are they necessary? Absolutely. And in the body of Christ, there are some who have spiritual gifts that are not quite so flamboyant. We'll never see them up here on the stage singing like Jessica did today. But they are nonetheless necessary to the proper workings of the body of Christ. D, God has given the spiritual gifts to build up the church. God did not give spiritual gifts for someone to go out and make a bunch of money on their own. He gave them for a purpose, and that is to build up the body of Christ. And finally, the fifth, God will use the church to confirm one spiritual gift. If you have a spiritual gift, the church needs to give you some chances to try it out. If you think you have the spiritual gift of teaching, then we need to let you do some teaching. And if indeed that is your spiritual gift, the body will confirm it. They'll say, oh yeah, that's right. I've had some young men through the years, and I have counted it a privilege to be involved in a lot of young men and some young ladies' lives as interns and try to invest and help them. And I've had some young men who felt like God called them to preach. Now, there have been some that, as lousy as I may be, I was able to say to them, you know what, I don't think that's what God's called you to do. Because when you live out your spiritual giftedness, you express it in ministry, the body will be built up by it and will benefit by it. And if they're not benefited by your gift, they will probably say, you know what, I think your gift might be something else. And that's not a shame. We ought to be able to do that in the body of Christ. And I'll share one of my pet peeves, and then I've got to stop, is that too many times in churches, especially this size, we only let the really talented play the piano, only the really talented sing, do something in worship. And we have got to get back to where we have opportunities for people who are just a little uncertain or trying their wings or finding their giftedness to have a place to demonstrate that and see if the body can affirm that, yes, indeed, that is your spiritual gift. Sometimes we get so polished that we forget that we are a body of Christ. We are in the process of becoming Christ's beautiful bride, and we're not all there yet. We've got to give some flexibility and freedom to one another. Well, I'm going to end for today, but here's the invitation. Number one, I want to go back to what I said earlier. Have you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you haven't, you're not going to have a spiritual gift to discover. You've got to have the Holy Spirit residing in you first, and that only occurs when we trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Second part of the invitation is, will you embrace the role God has for you? Will you be a person who says, well, that's not the gift I wanted, God, so I don't think I'm going to use that one? Will you embrace God's role for you? Because to discover your spiritual gift, one of the first things you must do is say, God, whatever my gift might be, I will embrace it. I will accept it. And I will know it is God's perfect gift to me. Thirdly, commit yourself to discovering your gift. In a couple of weeks, we're going to provide an assessment tool, some questions that you will answer, and it will help kind of reveal what you might understand as your spiritual gift. It's a starting point. It's one tool in the mix, but it's a good start to discovering spiritual gift. Are you committed to doing that, to discovering your spiritual gift? And fourthly, we ought to praise God that he cares enough and loves us enough that he would give us a spiritual gift and use us in ministry. Jessica mentioned Brother Bill. Could you imagine tying Brother Bill up and saying, you know, for the next 5 years, you are not going to be able to do anything in ministry. He would explode, right? And I know him. He and I are becoming, I think, close brothers in the Lord. And he doesn't do that just because he likes to be showy or something. He's doing that because God has put that fire within him, and not just what you see up here. And I'm proud to be able to use him as that example. But if we tied him up and said no more ministry for 5 years, first of all, Vicky would probably have to strangle him, and if she didn't, he would explode. He'd just blow up. So embrace that God says, you're my people. I want to share ministry with you. And you really, if you think about it, you're in the part of the recreation of God's wonderful creation that was marred by sin. You were part of God rebuilding all of that wonder that will eventually be ours to behold. Would you join me as we pray? Father, today and these next few weeks, I want to be a servant to these your people, teaching clearly and plainly the scriptures about spiritual gifts. And I pray, Father, that you'll help us to keep our minds focused, our heart in tune, and understand the principles that you want to live your power through the Spirit out through our lives. Lord, we want to thank you for that. We want to thank you for that gift. And Father, I pray today that even in this crowd, there might be someone who says, you know what, I never really have trusted in Christ. I need to make that commitment. And I pray, Father, you'll give them the courage to do that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.